Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Junk Time AFL podcast for January 2017, the first pod of the year. We're coming to you from Wayne Jackson Studios. My name is Michael Chamberlain, and joining us, return guest, very special guest, Sonny Munn.
Thank you for having me, Chambo. Happy New Year to all the Junk Timers out there.
And also joining me, Adam.
Yeah.
You're going to have to put a jacket on. Okay. I told you 2.5 hours ago to put a jacket on. I know it's not a visual medium, but we can't all be wearing Carlton blue M&M jumpers.
Okay? Michael, I've been very busy.
No, you need. I told you to change. Sonny, you're fine.
Yeah, I'm sweating bullets over here. I've been wearing mine for 2 days.
No, he's fine. I don't know why you showed up in a Carlton blue M&M top, but Adam,
I haven't got time for this, Michael.
You need to change your top. You need to put on like a Fremantle away Guernsey. Put on the Power Ranger one from Hawthorn.
I'll put that on. I'll look like a complete tool.
Okay,
yeah, it's Warpy time.
Yeah.
You need to know, I told you 2.5 hours ago.
Okay. What about a lace-up one, not laced up?
Yes, one that maybe KB one.
Yeah.
Wore.
Yeah, okay.
In the day.
But I'll leave it unlaced or unlaced. Halfway down because it's summer.
I don't care. Either way, I told you, we can't all be wearing Carlton blue M&M tops.
Hey, what, it gets steamy in Wayne Jackson Studios, doesn't it?
It really does.
Can I just tell you, I really love what you've done with the place, the way the windows fog up as soon as you start talking.
Yeah.
It's a real treat.
Well, it's a winter game and we haven't adjusted the studios to compensate for that.
How much are you guys not doing anything that mid-Jan you're doing an AFL podcast?
Well, we love our footy. We love our footy, son.
Oh, it's all about the brand.
Yeah,
Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
It's all about the brand.
Right. You don't see Gillon McLachlan going to ground, do you? You see him, he's out at the polo.
The Portsy polo. Once again, I've missed out on a ticket to that one. Tell you what, I would have had a great time.
You missed a treat, mate. It
would
have
had an absolute fantastic
day.
Time.
Yeah. I loved it. And then the
half time when they bring on the Shetland ponies for the little tackers. You never hear who wins the Portsy polo. That's the disappointing thing. Who played?
Well, the underdogs. The underdogs always get up.
I think.
It's a sort of event where.
Well, there'd be a lot of underdogs there, wouldn't there?
That's it. It's a rags to riches tale.
It's just all members.
For those who may not know, actually, Portsy from Melbourne, probably an hour and a half, 2 hours.
It's about an hour and a half. You go down the peninsula. Freeway?
Yeah, a bit of a summertime gathering, like one of the high and mighty have houses down there. They might go over to summer.
Lindsay Fox, former president of St Kilda, has a place down there. He tried to block off his own part of the beach.
Yep.
And the rest of Portsy went, can't fucking do that, buddy.
Well, and so trooper style, like you don't own the beach.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
And people went, it's public beach, buddy.
So they have the Portsy polo down there. It happened yesterday. I think it might be happening every now, like a few weekends in a row or something.
Oh, no, I think it's once a year, mate. Yeah, absolutely. Those horses, mate, they need to recover.
And then
how hard it is to get a horse in an ice bath.
And then the best of the best of Victorian society goes down there.
Yes.
Yes.
And Juddy, they have, is it Jagged Sportswear? Is that what
Mr.
and Mrs. Judd, they have their own marquee down there.
Really? Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Are they kidding up the horses? What are they doing with the sportswear?
Oh, I don't know if they wear their kind of warm down outfits, like the lycra for the horses, but I know that everyone was wearing white. From the photos that I saw, that was their theme in the Jagged, which is why I couldn't go.
So good way to kick off the football podcast by talking about polo for a while. Now, Sonny, you are the Big Bash, you're a scoreboard guy for the cricket.
That is the official title. What you said then. It's
scoreboard
hard to fit
guy.
It on
you went to the Big Bash last night.
The sight screens. Yeah, I was in Sydney last night. It was a pretty dire game. But I did witness one of the all-time great streaks. Seriously, like, I don't know if it's just that I'm puerile and juvenile, but it was one
you are.
Of the... Yeah, of course, but it was one of the great streaks, Chambo. It was
so two blokes hit the ground at the same time. Obviously, were they mates?
Well, I didn't ask. I don't know if they sort of... it seemed like they were in unison. You know what, though?
It's a weird coincidence.
Yeah, it is. Or, when you see one guy naked, you're like, fuck.
Give me the gear off.
Yeah. One was a couple of metres behind the other, so you might have been...
Okay.
No, they were actually quite athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And far out. Like, so they split up at the circle. They got inside the circle. One made a beeline straight for the stumps, ripped the middle stump out.
Does it light up?
Yo, big time.
Love it. That's fantastic.
Is that a free hit?
The kids, that's it. And he just definitely wasn't no ball. The kids went ballistic, but they split up beautifully. They both attracted about 6 to 7 security guards each. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to know where to look. The bloke in the middle started doing laps of the pitch to evade the security,
yep,
and was just unstoppable. Eventually, he got dragged off, splayed, completely nude, and just grinning like a Cheshire cat. The other fella made his way towards the boundary and was actually backtracking sort of ice skater style, Bradbury style, was getting down that low, skimming back, palming off security like it was Mount Meninga circa 94.
Given the Dusty Martin straight arm.
Don't argue.
I kid you not, gents. Dusty Martin would have loved this bloke. He actually backtracked at one point. He gave one security guard, who was pretty burly, a decent don't argue in the chest.
Yeah.
Floored him.
A legal one then. It wasn't in the face.
No. You're
allowed to do it in your chest.
It was good. He turned around, started going one way, realised he couldn't do it, came back, and as that security guard was on his haunches, just for good measure, gave him a bit of a hip and shoulder on the way through.
That's lovely.
Floored him. He actually ended up, well, somewhat getting away. He hightailed, sort of Frosby flopped over the fence near the sight screen and made a beeline straight down the tractor race. So there's a dude, still nude, I reckon, down near the covers, just skirting around the bowels of the SCG. It was hands down, I think it's the best streak I've ever seen live. And I was there when Andrew Simons shoulder charged.
Oh, were you? You saw that. The hip and shoulder from Andrew Simons.
Well, today I was trying to read up on the, because there's obviously no footage. They don't cut to it.
Yeah, you have to go online, like Twitter and Instagram.
And you need multicams because, like I said, they really
diverged
beautifully. Yeah. And
so there's no hotspot vision.
No, thankfully
not. It's disappointing.
But apparently one of the umps, I didn't notice it, apparently one of the umps tried to go the hip and shoulder.
Yeah.
On one of the players, on one of the streakers.
See,
out
that would have been great from a Big Bash perspective, because the umpires have the cameras on the peak of their caps. So they would have had a great view.
Well, I reckon they need streaker cam. It's probably the
it's next time for it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. We've got to bring the kids into it.
Yeah, the kids are calling for it.
Well, you know what's weird about that is if you said to a dude, hey, do you want to get nude in front of, say, 20,000 children?
Yeah.
Probably go, no, I probably won't do that. But then you do it at the cricket. You're like, everyone's, woo, this guy's
That's
naked.
Right. Five
There's lots of
grand.
Kids around.
$5,500 it cost him.
That's pretty cheap, I reckon.
Well, it was that was one time where I thought that's money well spent. I felt like chipping in for the fine.
Yeah.
You got to hand the sombrero out.
I mean, if they had mates, like, isn't there kind of urban legend that, you know, 20 people say we'll chuck in, you know, so much. And so they had to kind of make it a bit steep.
A bit
instead of it
top.
Being $50, you know,
yeah.
So your mate runs over, you've got to make it, okay, it's got to be grand each, you know.
Because what is it, the footy? It's either 7 or 9, isn't it?
It's about 9,
it's
isn't
venue
it?
Venue to venue, it depends.
Well, yeah, for Melbourne, I think it's something 9-something.
Yeah.
So
they actually, it's a weird figure because, and I can't quite remember what they
like divide it by. It's like 9,327 or something,
yeah, and cents.
So they divide it by, oh, whatever a public nuisance thing is, and then, I don't know, the crowd figure.
Well, the Duckworth Lewis comes involved.
That's right.
How many testicles?
Yeah.
How long the penis? Yeah. How long you're out in the field?
Yeah.
You gents both strike me as avid streakers. You'd be in the buff at most sporting events, wouldn't you?
It's hard to get in because I arrive in the buff.
Right.
That's a hard thing.
The reverse streak.
And freak people out and just bolt through. So the first time I ever saw a streaker was the 1988 Grand Final, Melbourne Hawthorn.
Yeah, the lady ran on the ground.
It was the first time I'd ever seen a lady naked, like live. And it happened just in front of me.
There was, you've she seen got some out,
she was in the bay like just sitting a few seats in front of us and she jumped
oh,
over
then
the
she,
fence.
Oh, you really had a first-hand view?
Yeah, I was like 13 or 14.
So how did she get naked? Did she take the clothes off as she was going, or had J-O. A robe on or something?
When a man loves a woman.
No, but like, was she wearing something disposable, like?
I guess they come in with like a trench coat. Isn't that the normal,
I suppose so, yeah,
streaker type thing?
Yeah.
I just want to pull you up on saying it's the first time you've seen a lady
live. Naked.
Oh, I think you said alive. So insinuating that you'd seen several deceased.
A dad's a serial killer.
Yes, great.
So most of them were dead.
They had one in 89. They had a lady in a Batman cape run on.
Yes.
And then I think they don't.
In 89?
Yeah. No one noticed because it was a tight
such
game.
A good game.
And so,
oh, really,
yeah, Batgirl ran on the field, and no
and
one
Dipper
noticed.
Ran through
I think it was like during the, I think it was during the third quarter.
Really?
Yeah. But no one knew.
That.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's, yeah, like, that's how good the game was. And then I can't remember one
how
since then.
How disappointing!
Yeah,
you've
gutted 100,000 grand.
I just picked like the best game,
and no one remembers it.
Oh, you do it Brisbane Port, and everyone's talking about how Lynchy didn't knock you out.
Yeah. Fuck, everyone talks about Dermy getting knocked out and spewing up and kicking a goal.
Yeah, they don't forget.
Muff out there.
Don't forget. Oh, I think she's just topless. Yeah.
Oh, that's why.
You're going to get us all talking about that.
Topless with a cape.
Yeah, I know. She's hiding.
Overdressed.
A guy ran on the ground at the grand final this year after the siren. I saw that. And I can't remember if he got picked up or they just said, just head back over the fence, mate. Well, he's obviously a very excited Dogs fan.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair enough.
It was in the forward pocket not far after the final kick.
Okay.
It may have been Bob Murphy. There was there was the bloke in England. Do you remember this? Like in the 90s, he used to try and infiltrate sporting events.
But
he was dressed up in the clobber of whatever.
Yeah, he made it halfway out to awards.
He got team photo for Man United.
Yeah, I think so. Was he at the tennis?
He may have jumped on the tennis and actually played.
Yeah.
He grabbed a net with a racket with his mate and did something.
He came out with a big racket. Everyone was too busy laughing to pick that he wasn't real.
No, the tennis audiences are the easiest audiences ever, though. They laugh at anything.
How dare you? If there's a moth, on the court, that is fucking funny.
That is
true. The moth shouldn't be.
Oh, you got to get the ball boy or ball girl to play. Quality stuff.
Stop it.
Yeah. Chuck in the big racket.
You give a linesman a massage and that's fucking hilarious.
Stab someone center court. Oh, no.
Yeah, but he massaged her afterwards.
Yeah, that's true.
It was pretty funny.
Yeah, he had a big knife.
Is he out yet?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
What was that? That was early 90s.
Was, yeah, 92, 93.
I think you'd be out by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, surely. I look forward to finding out at the Australian Open in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're getting a bit sidetracked here.
Well, speaking of
football. Oh, actually, no, tell you what we should do. We should talk about my live shows, Adam. That's what we're going
to
do.
Oh, speaking of people wanting to stab themselves.
So anyone who streets gets in for free.
Yeah. Is that what you're telling us?
Don't stand up. Perth Fringe, Feb 1 to Feb 4 at the State Theatre of WA, Western Australia.
Good
nice.
Night.
Get
Good
tickets theater. At fringeworld.com.au.
What was that address again?
Fringeworld.com.au. And then doing shows at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival from April 10 to 23. And their tickets at trybooking.com. Yeah, come along. Fringeworld.com.au, Feb 1.
What do they search for? What's the name of your show, buddy?
Life in Moderation. But search for Michael Chamberlain. L-I-N, not L-A-I-N.
Yes.
Many references this week when our friend.
Good friend of the pod.
Friend of the show. Michael Chamberlain, father of Rosario, our former husband of Lindy. He passed away.
Yeah.
Got a few tweets, got a few texts.
Yes, thank you, Junk Timers.
Thank you for the people who are worried about me. But I'm okay. So he's L-A-I-N. I'm L-I-N.
Yeah.
So.
Ironically, you used to play forward pocket for the Dingoes, didn't you?
Well, I tell you what, we'll talk about nicknames later on, but at my former cricket club, and it took a long time. It took them until I was about 22, 23 for them to work this out. Well, I suppose I started playing there when I was about 9, so it would have been inappropriate at the time. But in the final few years, my nickname was Dingo.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And people would say, hey, what do you call him Dingo? And they go, oh, it's Michael Chamberlain. And I'd go, you sick fuck. But yeah, no, it was, yeah. Good one, Bold Dingo.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a good nickname.
Another wicket, Dingo.
Yeah.
On a hat-trick, Dingo.
Yeah. It's better than calling your baby
killer.
Better
chin music, Dingo.
Better chin music, Dingo. No, but speaking of... so get to
Chambers. Fringeworld.com.au, yes. Feb 1, Feb 4,
sounds
and then April 10,
Try booking, is that T-R-I?
T-R-Y.
T-R-Y, thank you.
Yeah.
There's some quality stuff, quality stand-up. Absolute superlative stand-up coming up.
And yours.
Yeah, that'd be great. Now, it's obviously pre-season and people are usually flying. If they're not flying, then they're in the rehab group.
A lot of questions to be asked.
Yeah.
Or they're in fat
club. They're getting ready, yeah. Mm. Melbourne. Melbourne haven't done very well with their pre-Christmas training camp.
Oh, what happened, Adam?
Well, they went away. It was a grueling, grueling pre-Christmas training camp. It was one of those fun ones.
No, it
was grueling and it was. They did a series of exercises designed to test them physically and mentally.
Right, as in Sudoku and whatnot, or what are we talking?
Well, I think so. Cryptic crosswords, kind of stuff. You know, you just say to, you know, who would you say it to at Melbourne?
Spell Heretier Lumumba.
Yeah, explain what Heretier Lumumba means here when he says that he's the prince.
Yeah.
Explain that kind of thing. Anyway, they had a few injuries. One of them was Dom Tyson injured his knee.
On the camp?
Yeah, during the camp.
Oh, dude.
So he dislocated his patella tendon, which is his kneecap.
Oh, shit.
So he's gone till basically the start of the pre-season competition. But then they also lost Christian Salem as a part of the camp. And this is one of those injuries. It's befallen all of us, I think. You know,
climbing up to the top bunk on the bunk bed?
No, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. He was out there. See, what happened was he failed to pack his backpack correctly.
Right.
Which we've all done. And he got hit in the head with a brick.
What?
Which is one of the most common injuries that happens.
The old falling bricks in
there. Yeah. So what happened?
Yes. Oh, truth.
So what happened? He bent down to get something and obviously the loose weight in the top of the backpack, the brick swung forward, which is unfortunate, is according to Captain Nathan Jones. Accidents happen and you can't foresee those injuries. Now, can I just say, Nathan, you can foresee a brick in the fucking head. Just don't carry bricks around during pre-season.
Oh. Who was the player against?
Christian Salem.
Christian Salem. So
he's got in the backpack. He's bent over. Yeah. Slipped out and just cracked him in the back. He was in concussion protocol.
You can't see that coming, though. Like, as you're packing the backpack full of bricks, you're thinking, what's the worst that's going to happen? I better bend at the knees and zip it up.
So at the minute, we could go on the Melbourne website and be like, you know, White, 3 weeks, knee.
Yeah, Tyson, Gorn, knee,
you know,
3 months.
2 weeks, hamstring.
Yeah, Salem.
Salem.
New
2 weeks.
Brick.
Well, that was the Patriots over in the States that had the gunshot wounds recently. Two players out with that. And there was I can't remember for life me who it was, but back in the sort of late 80s, there was a Bears player whose official reason for being out was shark bite. I'm sorry I don't have the name, but someone got bitten by a shark.
Everyone's showing
pretty good.
You can probably get away with saying you can't foresee that one happening.
For a shark, yeah. But a brick, why do they have to go? It's pre-season training. Why do they have to do stuff so far out of the realm?
Sorry.
That they're just, like, why don't you just...
So they're running around with a backpack with a bunch of bricks or a bunch of heavy stuff in there.
Yeah. And I think you've got to pack it properly. Like, why not, or if you want to go to the full thing, go to Syria.
That's right.
Right? You land in Aleppo.
You go to.
You put in your top 44, 48. You put in your best 48. Mm-hmm. And whoever makes it out, there's your 22.
Yeah, I like it. A bit of sort of Hunger Games style preseason.
Yeah. And right. If they make it back, you don't want to play that team in the first round.
No, you don't.
The team that survived ISIS. You go, fuck, I'm not playing on him.
Team psychologist is working overtime.
Yeah, a little bit. There's a bit of PTSD.
Yeah, they'd be fitter than they've ever been. But they'd be...
Yeah, exactly.
Why not create a bit of a bonding scenario? Because obviously the bricks are a nominal weight. It's just something. Because, all right, we're going to have you lug around a bag of bricks.
Yeah.
You need to carry a slab around for the day. When they knock off, sit around, polish off a few.
Works the same.
What could possibly go wrong?
Well, you know, it's very... If you're running around and stuff, you got a lot of foam.
Oh, it'd be frothy.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think this through. Well, Aleppo's the answer. No, Aleppo.
That's why you're not an elite footballer.
Now, I understand it was the same kind of army training they did last year.
I think so. They had
wake up at 3 a.m. and say, you know, what's your game plan?
They did the sleep deprivation.
Hmm.
And once again, I think with the army, and I think Essendon did some Navy training before Christmas.
No way.
Yeah, just at a naval base, I think, somewhere in Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
I reckon that'd actually be quite, it sounds a bit weird, but it'd be quite enjoyable because you know you're not at, like, if someone's whacking the tin at 3 a.m. and saying, get up, you maggot, blah, blah, it's like, well, I don't have to do this for a living. This is just going to be a good insight as to what...
Just to see what I can
see
do.
See what they can do, yeah.
Yeah, I think Hawks went off to Kakoda again. I don't think they do that every year. I think they maybe do it every second year.
Yeah, it is a bit old hat. Yeah.
Can't, guys.
Stand around and sing horses after the...
That's the ultimate away from Kakoda.
As the Australians did when they completed Kakoda originally. They were the first ones to sing horses.
It wasn't the only unique injury. Stevie Johnson, obviously, we talked about earlier, he injured his thumb reaching into a bag for a phone.
Yeah.
I think we talked about that last pod or the pod before.
Yeah. Well, he carries around a bag full of knives.
Is that right?
And he puts his phone in the middle of it so no one, and he forgot. He's like, oh, fuck, the knife bag.
And then Scott Thompson, he nearly bloody killed himself.
Scott Thompson is one of the weirder injuries I've ever heard of.
From North Melbourne.
Yeah.
He slipped on dog's vomit.
Slipped on dog's vomit. His own dog's? Or?
He'd come back from holiday and he hadn't changed the dog's water bowl yet.
Got to change the water bowl. You can't have still water. I mean, that's
first
malaria. That poor dog.
That's what
does
they
not have a soda stream? What's going on?
Yeah, fuck that poor dog.
That was the main thing at the Melbourne training camp. They'd come in at 3 a.m. and go, when do you change the dog's water? Straight away.
When I get back, otherwise
don't hit me. I'm hitting with a brick.
So hang on, run me through this. He comes home from holiday. Crook from...
No. Well, they brought the dog with him.
Yeah.
No, they haven't just left the dog there.
Forgive me, guys. Sorry.
The dog's on the couch watching Foxtel.
Oh, you're home early?
Fuck.
At a party. The place
dog's
is
watching
trash.
The Westminster dog show.
Yeah, he's watching,
touching himself.
Yeah, best in show.
Yeah.
With the lipstick out.
Oh, it's disgusting. He's licking himself all over. They hadn't changed the water yet, and so the dog wandered over. I get a cheeky little refreshment.
Oh, yeah, he's just come home.
Lap, lap, lap.
Right. Yeah,
probably 2-3 week old water.
Yeah.
And then realise that doesn't sit well with me.
Nah.
He's chucked that up, and then Scotty's... He's well, in his words, I was in thongs and I didn't see it, stepped over a Christmas present and just kept on going. I actually slipped over my dog's vomit. So it was a good little test.
For what?
What's the test?
Well, just like, you know, how to kind of land, I suppose. He didn't hurt himself as such. It's fine.
The present he stepped over was ironically one of those fake vomits. And it was just a good test as to how he
to see which one would. Or else, as he said there, because he said he's wearing thongs, never wear thongs around dog's vomit. Everyone knows that old adage.
Yeah, that old adage. Yeah,
right. That's the boot studders. Problem. Got to have your moulds on around dog's vomit.
And you know what I love? This is a pretty innocuous story, surely. Yeah. But the internet's so wonderful and the Herald Sun website's so wonderful. They actually have a comment section.
Good.
As we need. We need to hear the people's
know what everyone has to say about
view
immediately.
Let me see.
Preferably abusive.
It'd be measured. It'd be measured comments about slipping in dogs vomit.
Oh, well, actually, here's one. Here's one that's actually providing a bit of a question to what the true story was.
Yeah. Oh,
from Patricia.
Oh, so it's conspiracy.
Yeah. Okay. She writes, "Is that what excuse?" Well, bloody hell. Is that what excuse they use now for a big night on the booze?
But the dog was pissed.
Of course.
Jesus. Star dog water.
Yeah, the dog's had a kebab. Oh, God.
Of course it wasn't a drunken fall. It had to be the dog. Really? Woof, woof. That's from Patricia.
Patricia? What are you saying?
The woof, woof implies the dog was in on it.
Yeah.
Someone says, when all else fails, blame the dog. Gee, people are doubting. How are we... doubting the Scott solid Thompson. Reputation
it's
of Scott
just
Thompson.
So ludicrous, though, that if you were going to make something up, you'd go, yeah, I slipped in the shower. You know, yeah. No, I stepped over a present and slipped on dog vomit.
And he said he had thongs on, like, and they would have been, he's a football player, they would have been Havaianas. They're not your Kmart pluggers.
Well, that's probably where he went wrong.
Yeah.
You've got to go the double pluggers and you probably
the Kmart,
some grip.
They're good for, like, you know, when you're...
water skiing.
They're good for everything. You know, you're down the tip with getting the trailer on.
Not the only other big news in the AFL. Hold your hats onto your head right now. Hey, actually, we were all wearing hats.
We are.
Okay, Adam, change. Don't take your hat off.
Don't change my hat.
Take your hat off.
What's wrong with this bucket hat?
It's actually got those flaps on the side. That clap.
Well, I get cold ears.
Premiership Bulldog Jordan Roughhead turns pet detective after finding a lost turtle outside his house.
Okay.
Jordan Roughhead...
he couldn't have got far.
He found a turtle on the street out the front of Richmond, right?
I'm hearing is that there's not a lot of football news over the summer.
I mentioned I saw a street.
He found a turtle on the corner Albert and Brighton Streets in Richmond. Put that up on Twitter, said it could be a lost pet or present, and hoping to find someone who could help. And he got a reply from our old friend, Dr. Chris Brown, Bondi Vet, my mate, DRC,
yeah,
the good doctor.
So the man from I'm a Celebrity.
Said, looks like you've got yourself a freshwater turtle there. A local vet or wildlife org should help. Let me know if you need some more tips. And then about a day later...
Yeah, who owns it?
Well, that's the thing. We don't quite know yet. I don't think it's been solved.
Could not have got far. Why didn't he just knock on the next door neighbour's house?
Well, that's actually a really good point.
It's a turtle.
It's only going for 3 days. And then, so he's got it in a little bucket, letting it have a bit of a swim around.
Oh, good on you.
Well, and then, I think it was last week, Jordan Roughhead slipped over in some turtle vomit.
That's right. When in doubt, blame the turtle.
But also on top of that, Archie Smith from your friend, Brisbane Lions.
No, that was nasty, actually. That could have been much worse.
Yeah, he stepped on a stingray.
Yeah, he got the barb right in there.
You had to have an operation or a little operation to get... Ah, there's a picture of it, Herald Sun. You didn't need to show that to me.
So a picture of his foot.
Oh, yeah.
Is the barb hanging out of it?
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, it's not good.
Well, that's pretty nasty. He's got a pretty bad blister on his on the ball of his foot as well.
Scroll down and look at a wound.
I guarantee you somewhere in that article they would mention Steve Irwin.
You have to.
You have to. Otherwise people don't know what a stingray barb is.
Let's have a look around.
So he was paddling around. Where was he?
On the Gold Coast.
Yeah, Gold Coast.
Oh, jeez.
Conspiracy theories start again.
Yeah. Nobby Beach. What's Nobby Beach?
It's a nudist beach for only blokes.
True.
No, I don't know what Nobby Beach is. Okay. I have no idea. I did see that. I don't know where Nobby Beach is.
There's been quite a few AFL players now that have stood on the old stinger. Wasn't there one... there was a Melbourne player, I believe, a
stingray
couple of years
or
ago.
Like just jellyfish stuff? I mean...
Oh, stingray.
Yeah, right.
No jellyfishes, no. I think a lot of them are southerners. Did Dane Beams perhaps step on one a few years ago? I can't remember.
Possible. I reckon stingrays would be a good name for an actual team.
There is one...
Is there a sporting team?
Is it the Dandenong Stingrays?
That sounds familiar.
Well, they're the Scorpions, aren't they?
They're known for their stingrays, aren't they, Dandenong?
Well, as is the joy of the internet, they also have a comment section...
What do people say about this?
Conspiracy. Is Patricia on there?
from Adrian.
A dog.
Yeah.
Stingray barbs are very venomous and a sting on any part of the body can be fatal as well as extremely painful. An ambulance should always be called to such an incident, either an ambulance or a helicopter to be dispatched depending on the patient's condition and distance from the hospital.
This is a comment or is this part of the article?
They got 2 likes. Let me see.
They know that the guy went to hospital and like took a photo of it and it's totally fine. Like, it's okay.
But we do have one from Glenn here. An ambulance, .. Really?
Oh, really, Glenn? Come on.
Surely you just chop it off and go about your holidays.
Soft. Here we go. Let me think.
The Brisbane Lions are fucked this year, mate. If you're calling an ambulance for a stingray.
Ridiculous.
What next?
You'll be calling one for a bypass.
Yeah.
Here we go. Soft. Let me think. Jeremy, stick to articles on your own snorefest sport. Oh, I think he's having a go at a previous comment. So it became a little debate about which sport's a better sport.
Yeah. No, as it should.
Fucking hell.
Because there's no better place to do it than the comments section. So hopefully Archie Smith is back up. Scott Thompson, dog vomit and stuff. Sonny, you had an interesting run-in with your dog.
This will be good. Oh, I've been Are you talking about my champion greyhound, Mushy Mountain?
Oh, I don't know. Which dog bit you in the face?
Yeah, that's happened three occasions now.
You've been bitten in the face three times?
Yeah, I have.
I've known you for one of those. I didn't know about the other two.
Yeah, well, they were all entirely my fault, basically. I'll run you through them very quickly. The first one was a couple of years ago. A very placid dog, by the way.
Sounds it.
Got some fangs on him. I got home a little bit. Little bit under the weather after a heavy night, and got in the beanbag with him and was nuzzling up a little too close. And in hindsight, I was probably there for way too long. I was right in his grill just having a cuddle for about 40 minutes. He was asleep and eventually got jack of it and just sort of latched onto my face. And that one was really scary, obviously, because it was the first time. And I really actually thought the worst. It took me a while to build up the courage to look in the mirror. And the second occasion was actually down at down the park, down Edinburgh Gardens. I was being a responsible dog owner and had him on the lead.
Good.
Yeah, as you do.
You're a good man.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. And he was sort of behind me while I was sitting down, and unbeknownst to me, the lead's pretty long, it's about a metre and a half, and it had lassoed loosely around his testicles. And he went to walk off, and I sort of gave a pull as in like, no, buddy, this way. Wrenched them.
Yep.
Wrenched his nose. He spun around. Got me again, but just on the nose.
Ooh.
So that one was more comical because it was just it turned my nose into a sieve, basically.
I'm on his side that time.
Oh, both times
so far. Yeah.
And then the third occasion was actually on grand final eve. This grand final just gone.
Oh, well, it's Spirit of the Dogs.
Spirit of the Dogs. And you know what?
Fighting.
I put $50 on him straight away after I dealt with the wounds. I was down at the pub footy day down at Vic Park. And you know, everyone's got their dogs out on the field at three-quarter time, all the rest of it, and he's out there, and he was fine, but he just had a bit of a grumble about this lab that was lurking around, so I thought, oh, I better play it safe again, being a good, responsible dog owner. I'll put him on the lead. And I went to do that, and he sort of jumped to sprint away, and impulsively I went to grab him, but I was grabbing him from behind, and again, I kind of got him in the area that I shouldn't have, and I got his tackle a bit, and he lurched around. That one was nasty because he actually got me on the throat.
Jesus.
Fucking hell.
I don't think you should own a dog anymore, mate.
He's thinking the same thing. But one was bad because it just started pissing out, basically, and the blood.
Of your throat?
Yeah. And it hit the grass before I could get my hand under it.
Oh, dude.
Sorry. So, no, it was pre-season. It was like a barb in the foot. It's fine. I didn't call it ambulance. No, I'm not soft.
Not an idiot.
So you went straight away. This is a fighting dog. Let's build a ring.
100%.
Get a competition going.
Well, the thing is, he hadn't fought for weeks, so that was part of it. But I left, and you know, it's that thing when you're in shock as well. I remember it would have been a weird sight because it was a very sociable day, and I was Claret just and someone's like, a mate of mine's like, you want an Uber? I'm like, no, I'm just down the road. I'm all right. And I remember calling my girlfriend, going, now don't freak out. I'll be home in a minute. Do we have any first aid?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, yeah. What's happened? I'm like, Mush has mauled me again.
Oh, dude.
So anyway, that's the only times that it's happened. If that was that what you're talking about?
The first one it went for your
the
throat.
The first paint one, the swelling was like, I looked like bloody Quagmire out of Family Guy.
Not many people have three dog stories. I was looking for one. But the third one's great.
And obviously I've slipped on his vomit, but I mean, that's like being a dog owner.
Yeah.
That happens.
Being a Brisbane Lions fan, you must be pretty happy from this little line here, and again on the Herald Sun. I'm not even going to scroll down.
Comment section.
Brisbane coach and former school teacher Chris Fagan says the Lions players have been quick to pick up the club's new game plan.
I find it interesting that they have to throw in, and have you noticed this? Every there's parlance with everything, but the last few weeks when I've been reading anything about Brisbane, it's mentioning how he used to be a school teacher.
Okay, let's look it up.
Well, I think that really helps the players understand the game plan. Like Brendan Bolton, when you're a shit team, you need a school teacher. Although Clarko was a school teacher.
Yeah,
mentality. Because these are young blokes as well coming through.
Yeah.
And the fact that article is about they're quick to pick up the game plan, i.e. score more points than the other mob, is probably due to the fact that he could teach four-year-olds math.
Well, I'm looking down here, so he was an assistant coach at Melbourne from 1999 to 2007. Then he went to Hawthorn after that. So essentially for maybe 18 years, he probably hasn't been a school teacher. I think that would have been a full-time job when you were in Melbourne.
Yeah, but he also hasn't been a coach for a while because wasn't he like a footy manager or something at Hawthorn?
Yeah, yeah. So for 18 years, he haven't been a school teacher. So for 18 years, well, more than
that. Still safe.
I haven't worked in a boulder shop, but it would be weird. It'd be like I worked in childcare probably at that time. So
you did?
Yeah.
What?
I worked in childcare.
The fuck?
Did I tell you that?
No.
You know that.
And then you got banned from childcare?
That was my last job before comedy.
And his first streak.
Yeah.
I worked at childcare.
I did not know that.
I worked at primary school doing before and after care.
That is incredible.
Some of those kids are 30 now. It's chilling.
Look at you.
but that would be like saying, you know,
yeah,
comedian Michael Chamberlain, comedian and former childcare worker,
yeah,
today won an Oscar for best screenwriter.
To be fair, I'm picking up think that like that? Yeah. You're burying the lead there a little bit. Yeah, so no, Chris, it is a bit, the former teacher stuff. I think we're screwed. Brisbane are screwed either way.
So they went on a camp.
Now was it?
No, see, Queenslanders. Where do they go? Because everyone does heat training. So where would a Queensland team go?
We'd probably go somewhere cold.
They went down south. Didn't yeah, they went to Tassie. Didn't
they went
they
to Lonnie. Tassie?
Yeah, good.
Went to Launceston,
where yeah, he is from. I believe he's from. He played there. Yeah, born in Queenstown, Tasmania.
So he's gone home and gone. Ah, oh, fuck. I can't just take holidays anymore. I'm going to get the club to pay for this.
Yeah,
get the players
down. Yeah, it was over Christmas, and Mum and Dad were there.
Yeah.
Now, were there backpacks with bricks or anything like that? Or
no, they didn't do anything like that. They're not up to that level yet. They're not Melbourne level. But he said we did a lot of education and practice around that game plan, and the guys showed a pretty good understanding in a short space of time. So not great.
That's
but
not
pretty
that
good.
Confident.
It's not that resounding, is it? And then he said, it will take a while before we nail it. You don't stand up, show some vision, practice it three times and you've got it. It's a work in progress.
Right.
So he said, we've got the rest of the pre-season and the season itself to nail it. So he's not even expecting. He's expecting by round 22 to have it down.
Yeah.
If then.
Yeah. And he said they've got the gist of it.
Yeah, there's
you
nothing
know what
absolutely nothing
I don't want
concrete,
gist.
Is there?
You know what that to be your membership slogan? We've got the gist. Yeah,
we're getting the gist of it.
They've got the vibe.
Yeah, yeah. We've sort of got the hang of it, but some of it isn't there.
Now,
2017 is our pre-season, 2018.
Gist,
we're getting
yeah,
the gist of it.
Let's dig a bit deeper. So were you sad Leper went, or did he have to go?
Oh, look, I'm sad because I really liked Leper as a footy player and as a stalwart of the club.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things that... I honestly don't think it would have made a huge difference who's coaching this year. I don't think we're going to do well. But I think sometimes you need a circuit breaker. Sometimes you got to...
Need a former school teacher.
Got to get out of school care and get into comedy podcasting.
But you're happy with Fagan?
Yeah, Fagan's paddock. It's going to happen. Yeah. I can sense it.
Well, were you hoping for any other coach rather than
Well, that
Fagan?
Was the thing. Like, you know, when these things come up, they always throw out the same sort of names. And I was never really... passionate about anyone in particular coming in.
Yep.
It's probably the first time in a long time where, because there weren't any ex-players on the list, it's the first time we haven't had an ex-player for a little while.
Yeah, okay.
I just thought, bugger it, just get someone in who can get the gist of it for a year or two and then pre-season it up for 2019.
Would have been nice to see like Jared Brennan.
Yeah, right.
Coaching. I mean, he was
like
really, really passionate as a player, and I thought he could have transferred that as a coach.
I'm actually a bit lost as to who were the names that were put up. I suppose a few
Johnny
months
Gastev,
ago now.
Obviously. DJ Darryl White.
Yep, okay.
The usual names.
Yeah. Martin Pike. What a great coach.
Pike was there.
What a great coach. I think Brett Ratton's name was quite high on the list.
Yeah.
Maybe Choco Williams would have been thrown into that mix.
Yeah.
And there'd have to be a few other assistants floating around.
It's not quite English football, but there are starting to get some familiar names. Names that are the journeyman coaches and Choco Williams and Rodney Eade and these blokes are definitely...
Yeah.
Sorry, I should say that correctly. The Choco Williamses, the Rodney Eades.
Yeah, Rodney Eades is
the plurals. Yep.
Third man up rule, gone. Well, banned.
Banned.
I'm interested by this one.
Mm.
They say... Well, I think their theory is that... Well, they want to protect the big man, so make sure the big man has a role.
Oh, yeah. You know how many big men have... quit the game because of third man up? Like, there are no ruckmen left in our game, in our great game.
Well,
they all said, we're not going to play.
We had one and he got done by a stingray.
Yeah.
And it's all about kind of congestion. So they've done their figures about how if third man goes up, what happens after that? So one thing at the stoppage is if it's just two ruckmen, it ended in a clearance for either team. That's 78% of the times.
Okay.
Right. And then that number dropped to 75% when a third
man... Oh! 3%!
1%! 1%!
1?
Yeah.
You can't drop to nearly 3/4 of the time.
That is...
That's absurd.
Fuck, no wonder they changed it. I never realised why I was so angry at a game, but that's it.
Reduce the players in general. Get rid of that bloke.
But actually,
is that seriously the stat that they put ahead to...
Yeah, this overall stoppages. But then there's an interesting one here where it says the numbers were different for pure ball ups around the ground. What's the difference between a pure ball up and a stoppage? Oh, it would be... Well, no, third man's not going up at the ruckman.
Oh, occasionally they might have a ball
if it's
in
a bad
third man up.
Oh, ball in, of course. Yeah, sorry.
Someone coming around
the corner. Yeah, of course. Sorry.
You've seen the game before?
Yeah, I'm a fucking idiot. Okay. And they said...
what are you teaching those kids?
When a third man... so this is from ball ups.
Yeah.
When a third man went up, it cleared 44% of the time compared to when two men were going up, 39% of the time.
Fuck.
5% difference. I think we're going to see a different game.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if we'll recognise our great game.
You're not going to recognise it.
So
half the coaches were into it. Half the coaches weren't.
Yeah, that's really interesting, isn't it?
And less than half the players were into it.
Do you have any idea as to which teams were and weren't into it? Like, obviously the ones who are better at getting in and under and clearing it. Well, I'm tipping the better clearance teams.
Well, who do you reckon did it the most? I'm going to say Hawthorn. Jordan Lewis was up a lot.
Jordan Lewis did do a lot. They actually do have the stats here. The Cats did it the most.
Of course, Blixath, yeah. But he's basically a ruckman.
He got 154 times, and then that was way, way, way down to Ollie Wines at 65. So it was 2.5 times.
Is
Jordan Lewis
is
at 54 and 5th.
Space elsewhere if there's another person in there.
Yeah, so that's what I would have thought.
In your head, you kind of picture that, don't you? Like they're punching it clear. But I suppose champion data doesn't lie.
No, well, that's true.
I mean,
they've never lied.
They're not dud data.
That's what they do.
Yeah. So who knows how we'll find out, or how they actually even adjudicate it? Like what happens? Because they say designated ruckman.
Well, I
but
guess
sometimes ruckman, you know, the ball falls short, and so a third person might run in.
Mm. Like, what if it's a bad bounce, but the ump says play on?
Yeah.
Can only those two? They have to wait for it to hit the deck.
Or if you're just in a better position, you're on the ground. Can you punch it forward?
Do they bounce it around the ground anymore, or is it always a ball up?
It's normally a ball up, isn't it?
Yeah, they never bounce it, so it's always straight up and down, so it must be the two guys. But if you're a ruckman running over there and you're like, I'm gassed.
I'm not going to make it.
I'm cooked.
Yeah.
I'm cooked. It's deep in the last quarter. I can't get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking Jordy Lewis, get up there. And he jumps up, you know, and you go, no, mate, you're not the nominated ruckman. No.
Surely just prior to the ball up, they'll say, righto, who are the two clowns going?
See, that's gonna bog down.
It's going to waste time, though, isn't it?
Great game. Just going to be, all right, who's our designated ruckman? You go, oh, Max Gorn who's another
Paul Popolo. Paper, scissors, Rockford,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I think they've ruined our game. I wanted more men up.
Four men up?
Oh, 17.
I actually wanted like a...
17, player. One down.
I wouldn't mind like a large sort of lab coat and someone on the shoulders masquerading as one tall doctor.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
I want to see like the rugby union where they lift them up by the shorts.
From the line
That's
out.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, in rugby league, there was a thing a couple of years ago that was brought in where in order to speed up the game, you can set a scrum as long as you've got the required amount of people. Which is 8. And in years gone past, the team could kick the ball out and milk the clock because they have to wait for their big fat props and their second rowers to come in.
Right.
Now, if you set the scrum in time, the whistle stops. So what happens is, effectively, they've got all these blokes who, like an AFL, are supposed to be the ruckman or the props and whatnot, gassed out on the wing, and all the wingers and fullbacks are in the scrum going, fuck, we've got to sit here for this play because they want to hurry it along. So maybe we start saying no ruckman up.
Just whoever's around.
Just whoever's around. So we just get the Rovers just go, okay, how good would that be? 4.5-foot blokes just going at it on a bounce.
How about, all right, so how many ball-ups you reckon per
champion
game?
Oh, I'd have to look at champion
per
data.
Game.
I'd have to make calls.
Yeah, but every player on the ground has to...
You've got to be in.
Got to be up in the ruck at some point during the game. Like, you know, like in 2020 cricket, you've got to bowl 4 overs.
Yeah, right.
So you've got to go up twice in a game. And you
Pub
can nominate.
Cricket, everyone must bowl.
Yes.
Everyone
must
go.
Yes, everyone has
up.
To have a go.
Or in little kid football, I remember the umpire would sometimes just say, you and you're going up in the ruck.
Yep.
Sure.
So the umpire can just designate.
Yeah,
you know,
get
people
put it
roughly about
hands.
The same size.
Yeah.
Can I say, though, at a lot of boundary umpire throw-ins, those boundary umpires need to lift their fucking games. There's a lot of short throw-ins these days.
There are.
And I think it's a scourge on our game.
How about having kick-ins? Get them to torpedo it.
Oh,
bomb it
just
as high.
Barrel it into the middle.
Barrel into the guts.
Yeah.
And
do you trust an umpire to do that?
No, that's why I love it. They might shank it and
yeah,
get
go
the
anywhere.
50.
Yeah, okay.
I'm thinking about how we can get up.
Spread the
forward.
Game out. I like it.
Some of the new nicknames of the new draftees.
We're already onto that.
Show a bit of the sense of humour.
Can we go? Can you give us the name and then we try and think?
Yeah,
of
yeah. That's what I figure. I'd give that a crack. Here we go.
And who says there's no football news over summer? I mean, people say that and I don't buy into it.
But also at the same
Seriously,
time...
Seriously, two streakers, guys.
Yeah,
fuck. It's amazing.
Also at the same time, a lot of these people would have come to the club with nicknames.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah?
You mate, that's, your new one? That's your junior
shit.
How do you impose your junior nickname without being an alpha male?
Yeah,
if your
that's
nickname's
true.
T-Bone and you rock up and it's like, we're calling you Dingo.
If I rocked up to Hawthorn tomorrow and said everyone call me Dingo, would they call me Dingo?
Yeah, they'd probably say, fuck off, Dingo.
And it's only a very small group of people that call me Dingo. I get, you know, many other different nicknames from other people.
Well, I don't think in general, depending on who you are, unless you're in a already established name in public, you can never state your own nickname, can you?
It's very difficult.
You can't.
You just kind of go with what people call you from the start and you just sort of hope it filters in.
That's right. And maybe let them know, pop it on, you're like, not a huge fan of that.
Hopefully
mate.
The crowd maybe calls you out. Like, people aren't going to go, Dingo, as you kick it from full back. It's too weird. When they know where it's from. Oh, for fuck's sake, Dingo.
So,
all right.
Essendon, Andy McGrath. taken number one.
Pigeon.
Right on the money.
Bang. Really? Right, I love the crossover bullshit from another sport.
Yeah, oh, Gary Lyon. It's the worst nickname ever for Nathan Lyon.
That's
put
incredible.
Out a tweet.
It's so lazy and shit.
It's terrible.
Put out a tweet with some bird seed in his locker. Someone to put there. Some prankster.
Some prankster.
Fucking hell. That's almost like a key and tuner. Yeah.
And it said, covered his car in shit.
Looks like the new nickname is going to stick. Hashtag pigeon. Hashtag KK. Hashtag KK.
Oh, he's a typo. He's actually in the clan.
Yeah. KK, what's that?
Hashtag KK.
Okay, if any Essendon supporters out there know what that means, help us out.
Here we go. Hugh McLuggage.
McLuggage? Oh. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, what do you call it? McLuggage?
McLuggage, yeah.
McLuggage, yeah. Hugh McLuggage.
Okay, that would be
from the Lions.
What would you call
Ronald
that?
Suitcase?
Backpack. Yeah.
Not too far luggage? Away, not too away from.
American Tourista?
Not too far from.
That's a little shit.
Okay. All right. American Tourista! American Tourista!
What's American Tourista?
It's a suitcase.
If you have to ask. Not a great
idiot. He's a fucking idiot.
So go again with the name, sorry.
McLuggage.
Hugh McLuggage.
What about huge?
Hugh Jass. Jass.
No. You are on along with the
suitcase, baggage.
Suitcase.
Shorter.
Bags.
Suits.
Bags.
Case. Bags.
Bags.
Yeah, he's got bags.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should be McBag.
Yeah, exactly.
You won't get this one, but Kobe Much.
I don't know.
Kobe. The Bombers.
I don't know much. But I know I love you.
Much, M-U-C-H?
You won't get it all, actually. The Eel. Referencing to his swimming, I think it's implying that he is a slow swimmer, so Eric the Eel.
Okay.
From the Sydney Games.
He's a slow swimmer. Wow. We're going to remember that when he's
that
on the field.
That stinks of forced, bonding.
Yeah.
Day one of
they need to come up with
we'll
something.
We'll go for a dip. That, look at how's Eric over there.
You know what that tells me? They don't like him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they hate his guts. He will not be there in 2 years' time.
Ryan Garthwaite at Richmond.
Ryan Garthwaite.
So
Garth Brooks.
We mentioned
Brooksy.
Mentioned a singer.
Daryl Braithwaite.
Daryl.
Really?
Daryl,
fuck, you know you.
Like, I should be around the club.
Yeah, I know.
Football is catchphrase right here.
Can I do two more? I'll do two more. Chainbo? Rosie?
Yes, very good.
I'll tell you what, I'm on today.
Did you ever get a nickname other than Rosie?
I didn't get Rosie until I was in about year nine, and good lordy, I hated it.
Did you?
Really?
Oh, as a 15-year-old, the last thing you want to be called is a girl's name. Yeah, or a flower,
yeah.
I've had people call me Petunia, because they know it's a flower, but they can't remember which one it is.
Nope.
Daisy. But I guess Daisy Thomas.
Yeah, that's a saving grace.
Yeah.
What would you prefer? What did you have before then? Just Ads or Adam or something?
Yeah, I think so. It was never too much thought of.
Complicated.
I wasn't doing anything good.
I deserve
it. Hey, fuckwit.
Might start calling you Dingo.
Yeah.
From North Melbourne. This is actually kind of a fun one. Nick Larkey.
How do you spell Larkey?
L-A-R-K-E-R-Y.
I don't think
you get it, but it's a kind of combination of the words. So Larkey, maybe that starts at the end of a word.
Put
a little something in front of Larkey. Ooh, I'm hungry. 3 a.m. Wouldn't mind.
Suvlaki. Suva.
Suva's all right.
Suv.
Suv.
Suv's not bad.
Fuck, I don't mind that at all.
Suvlaki. That's quality.
That's a great one.
That is good. Jeez, we're easily pleased. Mid-Jan, guys.
Yeah, who says there's no... I want, though? I want Junk Timers to send in their nicknames, either theirs or players that they've played with.
That would be great.
On the sporting field, because I love them.
Because there's the stock standard ones at every club, isn't there? There's always a Macca or a Chicken.
There's a Macca, there's a Bluey.
We had a Porno at footy club.
Porno?
Yeah, at Porno.
Because of his love for?
I don't think it was really... I don't know the origin story, really? After the game, people would be like, why Porno? And I don't know, but it was great, Shannon. Porno!
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Boda, played with the Boda, just because it was such a massive unit that was his turning circle.
Oh, okay.
So anything that's actually got a sporting parlance to it.
I like that. Were you going to... Is that it, Chambo? We done?
There's one more, and it's...
You've saved the worst till last?
Well, pretty much. So, Sam Draper from Essendon again. Gee, a lot of Essendon.
Yeah. So what's Sam Draper? Madman?
Don?
Well,
Don?
Actually, that would be a good one. Do you think Madmen kind of infiltrated into the world of AFL?
Possibly not.
Some Madmen have infiltrated.
but as a TV show, I would think not.
A bit of drinking scotch during the day, but I don't think much more than that.
They're more your Breaking Bad.
This one's not creative at all, so you can just do the basics. Sam Draper, what do you reckon he gets?
Drapes.
Drapes.
Curtains.
Curtains.
Yeah. See, you guys are working well already.
Carpet match curtains. Yeah. Muff.
Muffy. Yeah.
Yeah, Muffy.
Yeah, and you've got to go that extra level.
Yeah. We just call everyone.
Oh. Here we go.
Not too far to go. But
what, until pre-season starts? Just quickly on pre-season, you know how they're starting roughly now? They've had their Christmas camps and all that jazz.
They're back training now.
As it is cricket season, coach a junior cricket team, and a couple of the youngsters
you
are 14 years old.
No way.
And they said we might miss a couple of sessions because we've got pre-season footy training.
Pre-season footy training as a junior?
November. Last November.
No way.
They're
13?
Yeah, they're 13, 14 years old. And because basically what happens is, you know, one or two clubs do it and then it's like, well, they're going to get the jump on the rest of us and they all dive in. Like, I'd love to know the earliest. Like, some people start pre-season before, like mid-season, I guess, much like the Brisbane Lions. But yeah, it's incredible, the kids. It's fucking scary, actually. They're doing that stuff months out. Back in the days, it was footy. Cricket.
Now, do you find that the 2020 has been infiltrating junior cricket?
Yeah.
Because I noticed something the other day when I was watching...
Your nephew?
Yeah, okay. I was trying to keep him out of it, but he was doing reverse sweeps.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I said, you can do that kind of now in the backyard, but don't you ever do that at training or at a game.
Playing the V or daddy brings out the big dog.
But are people doing that? Kids doing that?
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And in a way, it's fine. Like, it's getting kids entertained where they come into training and they're talking about they want to be so-and-so and Dave Warner and all that jazz. That's fine. But, yeah, come on, man.
No, I used to get off the mark with a ramp shot.
Yeah, that's true.
Straight over the keeper's head.
You know what I'm actually looking forward to pre-season style? Like, in February, we've got the Women's League coming up. Sorry to digress a bit.
No, not at all.
Please. But
what's fascinating to me about that is that I've been working on the Big Bash and doing a lot of the WBBL, the women's stuff, which I actually enjoy a bit more because they can't just bludgeon it over the fence. They have to pierce the field and manipulate it. It's proper cricket. But there's a lot of women who actually cross over. Who are playing the footy season and also playing for the Stars, the Renegades.
Oh,
There's multiple. Lamb, Emma Carney. The names miss me now. But there's about five or six of them who...
That's great.
..are doing great. And it just reminded me of like how great it was when folks like Simon O'Donnell or Maxie Walker. Back in the 80s, you could still have a Warnie? VFL career. Warnie played a couple of games for St Kilda.
Yeah.
Like, one of the great things to be able to at least parry it and just be Roy of the
play
Rovers
everywhere.
And play everywhere.
Yeah, just there was... let me think. It's Aaron Phillips, I believe.
Yeah,
I think of the top head. She plays. She's an Opal WNBA player.
Jess Cameron. Jess Cameron plays for the Stars. Very good bat, and is also going to play for Collingwood. And then you got the netballers who are getting poached in a couple of years. Unfortunately, the one negative about women's sport being so progressive and actually becoming professional is that they're not going to be able to do that for much longer.
Yeah, you can't cross.
Cricket Australia
too
already
long.
Making them sign contracts saying you'll prioritise this training.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Along with the no pregnancy clause, that type of thing. State you're not pregnant at the start of the season.
Yeah, okay.
Legitimate.
Yeah.
But anyway, I find that bloody fascinating.
No, because on Feb 3 we're going to talk about it. Collingwood Carlton kicking off at Olympic Park Oval. That's
great.
The debut of the women's league.
And I believe it's free. You don't have to pay to get tickets. You can just rock on down there. Yeah. Which is great. I think
just for you,
I think
are you just going to back exit?
So all the games will be on Fox Footy. And
that's awesome.
One game a week on Channel 7. And in the first round, there'll be two games. The debut game and then a game. Doggies versus Frio. But also, I think, great thing about the returning to the suburban grounds as well. So they're going to be at Witten Oval. They're going to be at Icon Park, well, Princess Park.
Olympic Park.
Fremantle Oval, which is a great place. I remember years ago going down to Fremantle, which is a beautiful spot of the world, beautiful part of the world. And I remember heading down there on the train. I had a gig that night. By the way, Fremantle.
Got one there.
Feb 1, Feb 4. And I tweeted out, heading down to Fremantle, hope I see Aaron Sanderlands.
Yep.
And then I got off the train and I kind of just wandered out. I like looking at training ovals and I realised Fremantle's training oval wasn't too far away. Stroll down, probably 5 minutes from the train station. Get there. Fremantle are having a little bit of a kind of Christmas party.
Oh, yeah.
Kids' day, family day.
Yep.
Who do I see?
Aaron
Sanderlands.
Really?
Yeah. I predicted it.
Amazing.
You predicted your own stalking, effectively.
The players were all walking around. Ross Lyon even had a smile on his face. You wouldn't believe it.
Wow.
You wouldn't believe it.
That is incredible. And then you saw Colin Sylvia at the Krispy Kreme. Just chowing down.
I think that Women's League's going to be great because it's also, they're smart that they've condensed it, Big Bash style, into whatever it is. It's that 6 to 8
Six
week
weeks,
period.
Yeah. Like
that's brilliant.
It's
I think it'll work well.
And also the access, so like in terms of free hit in a way, tennis over.
Yes, yeah, it's a good window, isn't
cricket
it?
Cricket tailing down, if not over. And
if
then
you're not staying up till 2 in the morning to watch the Australian team lose to India, then you can get yourself down to Witten Oval.
Absolutely.
A few of the players have been delisted. There's an article here on the Herald Sun again. I'm not going to scroll down to the comment section because I refuse to look at that anymore.
Oh, you disappoint me.
Talking about the people who and what they're doing, where they're going. People have gone to different clubs, country clubs and the like. Except for one player, former Tom Derricks.
Derricks from the Swans?
From the Swans,
yep. Former Ruckman.
Spend the time focusing on his music.
Oh, here we go.
Like it.
So he has...
Is this like a Brett Lee six and out scenario?
He's formed with childhood friend, he's formed KX, a two-man electronic band that plans to release its first single soon.
Jesus Christ.
It's a picture of him with the headphones around the neck.
Ooh.
But also, I didn't know this, part-time model. And then delving in a bit more...
This is so unemployed.
This is it. This is Australian.
You're not a part-time model.
Part-time model's weird, yeah.
This is full-time Centrelink.
The Australian Daft Punk.
But also doing a bit of digging. And then last year, I realised he was involved in the... it's a very Daily Mail kind of article, but he was seen floating around with GG Hadid.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know those ones? Yeah. So he was wandering around Taronga Zoo with her. So he got in with the squad. That's Taylor's squad.
Man. And this, keep your eye on Tom Derricks then.
What was the name of the band?
KX.
Do you think maybe that's what Pigeon's hashtag was? It was a typo. From KK.
He's into Tom Derricks' band.
He's into two man electronic band.
Synth pop.
Yeah, KAYEX.
Oh, okay.
That's KX. Yeah,
it's pronounced shit
out. All happening for Tom Derricks.
One of the other big things that came out of the preseason. Now, we talked, Sonny, last year that you would remember Xavier Richards.
Yep.
I wanted to leave the Swans because it was too expensive to live in Sydney. You can't.
Living away from home allowance.
You can't live in Sydney and just be an AFL footballer.
Nah, you don't need decent enough crust.
Yeah, exactly. But amazingly, he's chosen to stay in Sydney.
Okay.
And he's playing for, does it say there, is he playing for like Sydney Uni?
I'm not totally sure.
Stayed in Sydney. So he's gone, you know what, Swans? Fuck you.
I don't want
your bullshit money. I don't need that cash. I'll just play for free.
Joke's on them.
At a low level. Fuck your grand final with 100,000 people. They bore me.
Signed for Sydney Uni. The niece
Sydney
will
Uni, Sydney, yeah, there you go.
What do you reckon Sydney Uni is shelling out? Here's your free Opal card for the week. Dancing.
Yeah, just surely don't touch not on too much. Yeah.
Okay, Thursday's ladies' nights. Jelly shots. You just talk to the bloke behind the bar. He'll sort you out.
You get 10% off at the uni bar.
Yeah.
Honorary arts degree?
The proudest man in Australia would be his manager. He goes, don't worry, mate.
I know how to play hardball.
I got you, yeah. We'll get you a better deal than this, mate. And then he comes out, he goes, how'd I go? He goes,
Have you thought about uni?
Yeah.
Gone back to studying.
Did you like the NEFL when you played in it? I guess it was all right. Well, you're going to be there permanently. So you're going to see all your old teammates playing against you.
Oh.
And you're going to have a bit of a fun time.
Honestly, that's a horror manoeuvre, isn't it? I mean...
It hasn't gone well. He played in an AFL Grand Final. That was his last game.
Awful. Is there any way back? He's a young buck.
Well, he's only like 21 or 22.
Yeah, is he 22, 23, something like that?
I think what kind of put him off, in a lot of his articles, he kept saying, I don't care if I don't play for AFL teams again. Because he trained with Essendon pre-season.
It's a lot of code and words in the attitude, I think.
Yeah, and they were going to give him the nickname Pigeon, even though it made no sense.
Really?
They had it earmarked for him.
Hashtag KK.
On his car.
Hashtag KK, yeah.
Well, yeah, look, I don't think apathy's high on the tick box list of most clubs, is it?
No. No, so
this bloke really doesn't give a shit what he does. I think we should sign him.
Yeah, so he's playing in Sydney, living in Sydney.
Oh, good on him. Get down to Sydney Uni if you're around there and
laugh.
Heckle the crap.
Have a laugh.
Very special moments over this summer break.
Can't believe we weren't invited, to be honest.
Kicking off 2017. I'm furious about that myself. Yes.
It's the polo again.
You guys do have.
It's bigger than the polo.
Very special news that our friend, old Trav Cloak, has gotten married.
Ah.
Yeah, big changes. He's changed teams. He's gotten married. He's a different man. This is a new Travis.
Has he taken her name?
Not quite sure.
Well, I heard in the ceremony that when he went to put the ring on, he accidentally put on the thumb. Like his radar was way off.
Hit her in the eye.
I hope Bruce Dog brought the rings down the aisle.
That would be nice. Yeah, that would be nice.
There'd be photos of that if it happened.
But we did. He put up a little video. So there's on Instagram because we're playing Australia's favourite game.
Yep.
What's Trav been up to? Here we go.
Australia's second favourite jingle.
A little snippet of The Best Night. It brings a smile to my face seeing this. Amazing work. And then it's like at moon and back.
So that people had shot it, perhaps.
Yeah.
And actually, Michael and I have watched it. It's really
very
well
special
done.
Thanks too. It's probably about a one-minute kind of clip of the wedding day itself.
A sizzle reel of the wedding day.
Yeah, and it's really beautiful. It's really, really nice. Really, really nice. But there's also this great moment. Now, was it Cameron?
It was Cameron.
Yeah, Cameron Cloke doing the speech. Yes. And it's only a little clip, like a 1 second shot of him doing a speech.
But worth looking at.
But he's wearing the glove.
He's wearing the Nike glove. It's really fucking funny.
Like, it's really good.
Highlight. Like, I thought that Cameron Cloke couldn't get better than being kicked in the ass by Satanta O'Halloran.
It is tough.
Punch in the head. But this, he's topped it.
We were flicking through, like, watching the kind of 1 minute clip. And that's obviously a great occasion. There are many people, and he's got a bit of cash, bingo bango, to spend around. So make the wedding day great.
His days back at Sydney Uni.
And then a little flash up of Cameron wearing the glove, and we genuinely fucking lost our shit.
And even Trev had a laugh. Trev was like, "Oh, I remember doing that. I broke those rules."
It was hilarious.
Well, that's great. Congratulations, Trev.
Yeah, and then his brother showed Trev missing like 12 shots on goal, and then getting traded to Western Bulldogs. It was a bit of a sad end, but
he actually walked into the entire bridal party. Quite get down the aisle. Down the middle.
Oh, consummation was awful. He hit the curtains. And the point is.
They started calling him Drapes.
So, footballers in real life. We'll wrap up very shortly. From Andrew, I was up in Port Douglas for New Year's and saw Jakey Carlisle.
I can confirm he wasn't using Snapchat and
didn't say, "This place is fucked."
That's disappointing.
It's disappointing. You know, I read an article before, I think it must have been just before Christmas, but they said that Jakey Carlisle's training the house. And so one of his teammates said that one of his teammates is doing really well.
Yeah, it was Lee Montagna saying Jakey's doing really well.
Yeah. And that's unusual. Like, you know, you have a lot of teammates going, he's going to be shit ass this year. I mean, he's on the downward spiral.
Was he wearing someone else's jersey?
Yeah, it was incredible. So Jakey Carlisle, get him on him for the Brownlow.
Get him in your, super coach?
Yeah.
Get him in your super coach team?
Yeah, because Lee Montagna reckons he's going well.
And we've got a couple from Sean as well, so these are a bit longer. Mm. I'm a big footy fan and a newcomer to the podcast. Welcome, Sean.
G'day, Sean.
Really love listening to you guys.
Apologies for this.
As well as Two Guys, One Cup. Make sure you get on Two Guys, One Cup.
Yes.
Will Anderson, Charlie Clawson, and the Outer Sanctum also.
Yep.
A few friends. I have a few footballers in real life stories that I think you guys might enjoy. First off, on the way to the Cats v Swans prelim this year, I saw John Brown at Richmond Station.
Mate, he's a man of the people.
A great man getting about on the carriage.
Yeah. I hope he doesn't have to touch on. I hope when they see Jonathan Brown coming, they go, triple premiership player.
Open the gate.
Through you go. Yeah. All Australian.
Can you imagine being a bloody ticket inspector going, "Excuse me, sir. Mikey Card, thanks. Mate, I was a triple premiership player before the age of 23.
You there with the Lego hair. Come here.
Put the crownie down.
Yeah.
Secondly, I was at Galactic Circus in Crown. Oh, that's a magical place, isn't it? I haven't been there for a long
time. What's
Galactic Circus?
Oh, video game. Like the arcade?
The arcade is awesome.
Yeah.
Down near the Tenpin Bowling.
Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful down there. Galactic Circus in Crown on Easter Saturday this year.
God, this sounds like the world's worst game of Cluedo. I'm
trying to think. I don't think, Sean, I hate to pull you up there, but I think technically there's no such thing as Easter Saturday. I think it's just Good Friday, Easter Sunday.
Well, he had to specify that it was the Saturday of the Easter weekend.
Well, he could have said the Saturday between Good Friday and Easter Sunday.
Of all the things to pull Sean up on, I reckon.
Because a lot of people say Easter Monday. No such thing as Easter Monday, by the way.
What is it? Good Monday?
Nothing.
Just nothing?
Monday.
It's just Monday.
Nothing happened.
Public holiday Monday.
Oh, I think someone came back from the dead, my friend.
It happened on Sunday.
Did it?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 days
ago. Oh, we celebrated on the Monday.
He probably showed a few mates on the Monday, but no one important.
Oh. We've already got Sunday off, haven't
okay.
we?
Okay.
Anyway.
Who says there's nothing to talk about?
Yeah,
I hate to bring my 13 years of Catholic education into this. That's my bias.
You started that at age 17.
I was waiting at the prize counter when I let the person behind me go in front as I'd already been served. He looked very familiar, so I took a second look to see who it was. It was my mate, Cyril Rioli. He was there with his family and helping his younger cousin in the Doodle Jump arcade machine.
The what, sorry?
The Doodle Jump.
Yep. Okay, thought I heard it right.
When I told my friends I was with, in brackets, don't follow football, who he was, and that my beloved Cats would be playing his team in 2 days' time on Easter Monday. Oh, maybe it is Easter Monday. Because they do talk Easter Monday.
I think
Monday.
It is Easter Monday, mate.
Maybe those priests were lying to me all along.
Yeah, no, they lied to you a lot.
One of my friends passed him on the way out and said to him, "Geelong's going to win."
Quality
Geelong won that game,
yes,
and Cyril was pretty average that game with only 9 touches and no goal. So I like to think that my friend put him off the game.
Well, see, I reckon. Remember that time that Stevie Motlop had a few cans at the local footy, and all the Hawthorn boys got stuck into him for it. I reckon they got stuck into him. You're at where was he?
The Doodle Jump
at the
Galactic
Circus.
Yeah, they would have been going, "Mate, fucking, how'd you go, Galactic Circus, playing the Doodle Jump?" As he's coming in to kick a goal, and he's like, "Fuck, people knew I was there."
Can I be pretty naive here?
Yeah.
What the fuck's the doodle jump?
I don't know what the doodle jump is. Let's
Get the Google on. I'm also Googling. Right, is Easter Monday a real thing?
Just quietly. I used to live before Eddie Betts went to Adelaide. I used to see him down in my local supermarket all the time. I don't know if I've told you this before. And he is an hilarious pest. So he'd be down there with his girlfriend and he would dead set be tossing up like produce, like a bag of beans or whatever.
Yeah.
And taking hangers on her shoulder. I'm not even making this up.
Where was this at?
Down, it's actually at near Brunswick Station, Brunswick Coles.
Yeah.
Supermarket.
Yeah, I know the one, yeah.
He would just like, you know, you muck around, toss it up and whatnot, and you'd be walking around. I was with my house, and I'm like, fuck, it's Eddie Betts. And then next time we see him in the next aisle, and Smithers has got the basket doing the shopping, and he's just tossing it up. Like, bang, can of fruit, just taking little hangers on it.
Fuck, we miss Eddie Melbourne. He's probably doing that, you know, somewhere in Adelaide. Norwood,
they wouldn't have a clue.
Norwood Coles.
Have a clue.
I'm getting the vibe, okay? I'm getting the vibe that Easter Monday is not a real thing in the Christian calendar.
Okay.
But it's referred to as Easter Monday in terms of the public holiday to make it easier for people.
Well, right. I'm very glad we got to the
bottom. What about Easter Saturday? Because that's what you slammed Sean about. You were slamming the greater community because I said Easter Monday.
That's got to be the same thing, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And anyway, back doodle jump is just like a kid's game.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. I'm glad you're clear. I think
the character looks like his name is Doodle.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and I imagine he jumps.
I can't think that Easter Saturday is a real thing because I can't think of anything in the scriptures that talks about anything happening on the Saturday. This would have been a lot of sad people.
Yeah.
Well, let's break it down. The world is 5,000 years old. So we start from there.
Dinosaurs that lived in Ohio.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take everything literally from the scriptures.
Do you have any more footballers in real life?
I also have one, again, from Sean. Second one from Sean.
Mate, he's loading up.
S-E-A-N, Sean?
I work at a Kmart in Shepparton in Victoria, and I was working at the customer greeter as the customer greeter today. So I suppose standing at the door.
Welcome. Have a great day.
Great. Enjoy Kmart.
Yeah. Don't shoplift if we know who you are.
Here's a voucher for Doodle Jump. Yeah. 20 minutes into my shift, Jarman Impey came into the store with a few mates.
Here we go.
He kept on banging into the aisles. He didn't buy anything, but his mates did. I was so surprised to see an AFL player where I worked. I couldn't believe it. Then 2 hours later, Clayton Oliver came into the store with his girlfriend.
The fuck?
He bought a three-person tent. As they are from the area, I guess Clayton and Jarman must have come home over Christmas break. Made a boring shift worthwhile. That's pretty cool.
Hang on. I'm just... I don't want to get too salacious here. Yeah.
Three-person tent, and he was with his partner. Is that right?
Here we go.
So there's two of them.
Yeah.
Who are they picking up? Well, I know for a fact in Kmart there are one- and two-person tents. Mm-hmm. He's opted for the third one. Has he gone for more space, more romantic?
No, I don't think
so. The cynic in me says no.
Yeah.
He says he's going to be blaming something on the dog.
He's getting his Shepparton swingers on.
I like it.
And I don't know if this really counts as a footballer in real life, but I was talking to a friend on the phone a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she mentioned to me that David Zaharakis just walked past her. So I don't know if that counts as a footballer in real life.
It's in her real life.
She lives around about the Diamond Creek area, so it'd be around about that area. She was down at the shops.
That's where he's from, isn't it?
Maybe. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, I don't think people generally go to
So I got a step
Diamond
removed.
Creek for no reason.
Step removed footballer in real life.
Do you guys reckon anyone's still listening to this at this stage?
They're loving it. Can I keep going? I've got a fuckwit in real life.
Oh, I'm right in the room.
That affected us.
Is it immediately to your left?
Chamber. Well,
what did you tweet?
Hang on. Let me just get the date that on the 21st of November, the Junk Time AFL podcast tweeted, "It's Schoolies Week," or as Ricky Nixon calls it, "Live Tinder."
Good right? stuff. Yeah.
Good joke.
All good.
50 likes, 10 retweets. People
Perfect.
Very much
they're
into
eating it up.
So we had a response January 9th. So what's that?
About 2 months.
Two months later.
They've had time to think.
Yeah. From the Ricky Nixon. Now. Yes. So and I didn't tag him into it. So he has searched his own name on Twitter. And if you want to talk to Ricky, he's, of course, at Ricky Nixon Toot.
T-O-O-T.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Not the real Ricky Nixon Toot.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's him. Oh, yeah. So, all right. It's Schoolies Week, or as Ricky Nixon calls it, Live Tinder. He responded, had 10 inside 15s. Whoops, meant 50s. Hashtag flog pods. Hashtag chicken goes bang. Banging capitals.
Is...
Well, sorry, that's my computer going off.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think I like Ricky Nixon.
Really? Now, can I just say, I checked out because he hashtagged flogpods.
Yeah, okay.
The only thing that comes up is Ricky Nixon calling us flogpods.
Right, so it wasn't trending?
Yeah, no, it didn't get picked up. So Ricky Nixon searched his own name, had a bit of a crack, had 10 inside 15s.
10 inside 15s isn't too bad.
Yeah, it's not the worst.
I know he's had 2 months to do. That is absurd. So he wasn't tagged into the original tweet.
No, he's just done a search on Ricky Nixon.
Good on him. Hashtag KK.
Oh, Ricky.
Ricky, 2-2. He got us.
Take us through the stubby holders, Adam.
Well, I had a as we were almost out of I Heart the Footbridge and the it's Gatorade Bukkake times, but we got sent another shipment. So if you wanted to get those and you thought we were out of them, they're there. I had something left in my letterbox the other day. We're about to pick up our new ones, which are
baby in the bathwater, something like that.
I threw out the baby with the bathwater.
And are you chipping out?
Are you chipping out? Yeah, they're the next two. So they'll be up. They'll be for sale, available, I would say, by the end of this week. So check back at Junk Time. bigcartel.com.
I'm doing stand-up, fringeworld.com.au for Perth, yeah. Feb 1, Feb 4, Melbourne Comedy Festival, trybooking.com at the Imperial Hotel, April 10 to 23. It's going to be a ripper.
It will be great. Hey, and what we'd love you to do is feel free to give us a little review on iTunes. We love that kind of stuff. It gets us higher up in the rankings.
Yeah, preferably
people
negative.
Loving us. Yeah, yeah. Oh, please be naked. Send us screenshots of you naked.
I said negative.
That is fantastic.
Fuck.
We are junktimeaflpod at Gmail. We're junktimeaflpod on Twitter and Facebook. Sunday, Monday. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. You guys, thanks for listening. And you can find me at my new house in Coburg. So feel free to come around.
Bleeding from the neck. That's my plug. We'll see you later. Go Hawks.
Go Blues.
Yeah, the Bears.
Change your shirt up.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.